I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
I talked to the executive producer of Real Housewives of Potomac, Kamar Basaraj. He has been with Real Housewives of Potomac since the beginning. So basically, no one knows these ladies like Kamar does. He told me everything about his thoughts on Ashley and Michael's relationship, his predictions for Giselle and Jamal's relationship, why he was so disappointed in the Monique and Candace altercation. Plus, he dished to me who's the most fun of the Real Housewives to go out with. Here's that interview.
I want to welcome to the podcast a very special guest, Kamar Basaraj, who is the showrunner for Real Housewives of Potomac. Welcome, Kamar.
Hi, thank you for having me, Megan.
Now, your history with Bravo began before Potomac. Tell everyone a little bit about it.
Before Potomac, I was on The Real Housewives of Atlanta for 3 seasons. I also worked on Don't Be Tardy for the Wedding. And I also worked on Candy's wedding special, with especially this iconic moment where she said to Todd, "You think you should get some of my money?" So that stood out to me forever. But that, and when Kenya lost her dog, I just remember that vividly when I was working on season 6 of Atlanta. And yeah, so I've been around the block for a while before Potomac.
And what did you do for those shows?
On Atlanta Housewives, I was a field story producer, and I was also a story producer, which what we do is we watch everything that is being shot, and then we actually like make it into the episode so the viewers at home can watch and enjoy and also understand what's going on concisely in everyone's life.
Right. And, you know, just to be clear, because I know some fans hear story producer and they're like, whoa, what? Like it is fake, isn't it? You're producing the story. But no, your job is, it's like you said, it's sort of finding the best way to tell what really happened.
Yes, what it is, when you say story, no, it's not fake. It's not scripted. It's basically, if you're watching something for 60, 100, 200 hours, it's really making it shorter so you at home can understand it quicker. So that's right. What it is. Yes. It's like paring it down.
Okay, so if you worked on both Kim Zolciak's wedding and you worked on Candy's wedding, which wedding went smoother?
Oh my God. They both went, oh, that is a very tough question, huh? They both went in different ways. They both went off smoothly. Like in terms of Kim, it was with the parents, and that turned out to be great. With Candy,
crazy.
It really was. But fun and entertaining. Yeah. And with Candy, it was really about the prenup and then Mama Joyce. And when you watch the wedding, you're like, oh my God, thank you. You are finally married. Like, I think for both of them, you went into the wedding, like just hoping it just went off without a hitch. And then when it happened, you were just like, thank you, Jesus. It happened. Yes, my job is done. And you feel happy for them. You feel a sense of relief.
Right. What has been your favorite Bravo show to work on to date?
I know I'm going to sound a little bit biased, but I would have to say The Real Housewives of Potomac. And hands down, because I feel these ladies, they really, really, not that they all don't, but these ladies have a special place because I was there from the beginning with them and I really got to watch their journey. And so they became more like family to me.
Oh, that's great. And you're a showrunner for this show. So explain to everyone what that means.
So a showrunner, there's a lot of executives, but the showrunner is the person that is with everything from the beginning until the end. So what we do is before we start filming, we talk to the ladies about what's happening in their lives. And the showrunner's responsibility is to make sure that we keep track of it. And we don't lose anything. If we miss something, then the viewers will be like, so how did that happen? Like, what happened in between? So my job is to really make sure that we follow everything to a T to tell a story so that the viewers don't miss anything out. Like, sometimes we do miss little things. For example, you'll probably see Giselle with her daughter talking about Jamal and not understand why it's an issue if we did, if I wasn't there, along with other executives, producers that weren't there, like following everything every step of the way.
So you're kind of like the friend of the group who holds everyone's secrets, is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm the friend of the group that basically tries to convince the friend to tell the secret to the world, right. If that makes sense. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. You should really tell this to everyone. So it depends on who you ask. I'm an angel or I'm the devil. So it depends. It all depends.
Do all of the Potomac ladies love you?
It depends on the day. It depends on the day, and it depends on the viewers and what they think of the episodes. And it also depends on, actually depends on when they watch what's on television. So right. I would say today, everyone loves me. If you ask me in 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know. But normally, yes.
Are you more nervous for this season airing than any other seasons?
I will say yes. The reason is because I'm not sure how the viewers will react. And I go into each season, to be honest, I go into each season more nervous than the last. Because the ladies really pour their hearts and soul out into the show. And each year, I'm very like, oh my God, I hope everyone loves it. I hope everyone loves it. So I'm really nervous, especially knowing what is to come and what happened. I'm very like on the edge of my seats, like watching all the comments, hoping that everyone just enjoy it and follow the ride.
Yeah. Do you keep sort of a neutral stance? Do you feel like you see everyone's point of view, or do you have your own favorites?
I have to take a neutral stance. I have to see everyone's point of view. If I don't, then the viewers will pick it up. You have to go in knowing that everyone has a story, and your job is to make sure that everyone's point of view comes across equally. I cannot go in with a bias, because if I do, the viewers pick up everything. The other day I was reading something about when Ashley walked into the restaurant with her baby stroller, and someone just noticed how Ashley literally was rearranging the furniture. And I didn't think anything about it. Those are the little things that I look at. Like, I have to go in knowing that I'm just here to tell the truth and present to the viewers what is happening. And I can't have my personal opinion or bias anywhere into the fold.
You know, I devoured this entire season in one weekend, and I came out with such a strong point of view. And I just know that viewers are going to either be Team Monique or Team Candace at the end of the season. And so I feel like for you, it's kind of a lose-lose either way, because no matter what, someone you love is going to be sort of getting the brunt of social media hate.
Yes. And the thing about it is why it's so hard is I can do whatever I want to do. You'll never see it. I will be in the streets doing dancing, twirling, you know, drinking, but no one is going to see it to cast judgment. These right. women are there, and it's like they're just living their lives. When social media gets in, and whether you're Team Candace or Team Monique, I feel like, oh my God, like people don't know this. Like, I will sit on the phone with Candace and go over, we will talk about new stocks and what we're investing in. Like, Candace, we will literally be on the phone for 2 hours talking about like why she didn't finish her Instagram story. And with Monique, she is so caring. I remember throughout the whole pandemic, Monique would call just to make sure I was okay, make sure I was doing well, because she kept reading about New York. So they are such sweet persons. So when this happened, it like really was like devastating. And so now knowing that viewers are going to go in with their favorites, which I cannot prevent, it's kind of like puts me in a position where I just have to be just a listening ear to both of them.
Yeah. Well, to go back a bit, I was working at Bravo right when Potomac was coming in as a new show. And it was at the time when people at Bravo were like, we're not sure if it's going to be a Real Housewives. We might make it a Ladies of Potomac after Ladies of London. And I wonder what it was like for you to have made this first season and then find out it's going to be a Real Housewives. What was your reaction?
We didn't know what it was going to be. Right. So every time going in, it was just like, we have to just make a good show. We have to just show these people's lives in a way that's authentic and real. And they delivered. And when the decision was made to make it a Housewives, I remembered there was a big phone call in the conference room. We told everyone. I was like, I literally cried because I literally go to sleep thinking about the show. So I would wake up like 2-3 a.m. in the morning, like, please God, just make sure it just becomes a hit. Like, please make sure everyone like it. Like, so to hear that it was a Housewives, I felt like a huge sense of relief. It, and the ladies were just like ecstatic.
That's amazing. If you're a showrunner, are you there for every dinner, every lunch, every cast trip?
It depends. So there are, like I was saying, there are a lot of different executive producers of the show. The showrunner is more involved with the final output of the show. So I am there for half because I actually run a team of other producers in New York. I split my times between Potomac and New York. So I'm not there for everything, but I'm there for a lot of the bigger moments. For example, I was there for the Newburgh trip. I was there for Candace's dinner. Like, so a lot of the bigger, where all the ladies get together, I am there for those.
Are you at all part of the decision at the end of the season when we sort of decide whether we want to continue on with a housewife or we want to change it up?
We are all there for that decision. That's a lot of people involved in that process. And we don't always say we want to change it up. It all depends on what is going on in someone's life. So, for example, if you're following me, right, and mm-hmm. You were on my journey and I got married and had a kid and, you know, you're following all this stuff. And then you're like, so what is going on in your life coming up? And I was like, honestly, that's really it. Like, I'm married. I have a child. Like, there's nothing new that I can show you. So that's usually what happens where someone doesn't get invited back to a franchise or to a show, because it's really because of what's happening in their life. Like, if they're at a stalemate, like, as a viewer, you don't want to come back and watch the same exact thing in someone's life happening over and over again. You want to see progression. And if they're at a point in their lives when they're like, guys, you know, everything that I've done is already, I'm tapped out. It's usually a mutual decision where everyone is like, well, you know, we really like you, but unfortunately, you know, there's nothing new happening in your life. We've already followed you as much as we can.
Well, so has there ever been a time where you guys did make that decision, but then you're at the same time like, oh, I wish we could have continued on with them because they brought such a great thing to the show?
I would say normally no. And the reason why is because the ladies normally, they have a lot of friends. As you know, this, the way you get on these shows is because you're normally friends with someone, especially in Potomac because the area is so small. So usually, even though I would like someone a lot, they will have a new person that gets my interest that I'm like, oh my God, what does this person have going on that I can follow? So normally, you feel hurt because of the relationship that you've developed. But once you've met one of their new ladies' new friends, you actually start to, you start to move along, but you never forget the person, but you just, you know, like, it's just like life. You have to keep going.
Well, speaking of new friends, I feel like Wendy was such a great addition this season. Are you happy with her first season?
Let me say, Wendy, I'm stealing Candace's word. Wendy is really Black Girl Magic personified. I love her. Like, I love her on every level as a person and as someone that is new to Potomac, because she has so much to offer. I think she made herself the voice of reasoning. And as you've seen throughout all the episodes, there was a lot of back and forth. And Wendy emerged as someone who literally was what we were thinking as people watching the show. She comes with a little bit of extra knowledge. So I thought she did well. I think viewers will love her because she's authentic. She has a beautiful family. She's someone that I could relate to in terms of being at a crossroads in life, not knowing if you should follow your parents' dream or your dream. So I feel like she brings a different element, and it doesn't hurt that she has 4 degrees, honey. Okay.
And we hear all about them this season, which I love.
Dr. Wendy to you.
I can't talk about Wendy without talking about Karen, because those two are just sort of at odds all season. Karen, I feel this season, it's like she's a little bit tired of engaging. And, you know, even on the group trip to Portugal, like, she doesn't drink. And she kind of won't engage when Giselle's sort of being Giselle and, like, teasing her. Do you think Karen's just had enough?
No, I think Karen is on guard. There's a difference. The thing is, she's been friends with Giselle for years. So she knows Giselle is always up to something. And that's why we love Giselle. The thing is, just how Giselle is that you watch on television, that's how Giselle is in person. Giselle will call me and tell me something, and I'll be like, Giselle, that's not the story. She's like, oh, it's not? I was like, no. She's like, oh, my bad, bye. You're like, just... So Giselle, I always say Giselle just adds a little hot sauce to whatever story. And I think Karen is always on guard with that. So when she's around Giselle, you'll see an extra guard because she doesn't know what Giselle is going to do. So I don't think it's her not wanting to engage. It's just her putting her guard up when it comes to Giselle.
Since you are the friend who knows all the secrets and tries to get them to share it with the world, do the other women come to you trying to extract that gossip?
I don't think they come to extract the gossip. What they come to me for, which we've discussed many times, because they are very aware of whatever is captured on camera, that's it. They always come to me in trying to make sure their point of view is expressed properly. They know they cannot control what the other ladies say, but they want to make sure their point of view comes across. So whether it's Karen, in terms of whatever was happening with her life with Ray, or with when the rumors broke about Blue Eyes, she always wanted to make sure that her point of view is clear. Because she knows she cannot control what the other women say or do, but she wants to make sure that her truth is known. So I think that's what I get a lot of, in terms of, I know what they're saying, but this is my story, and this is what is happening, and this is the truth. Can you help me get my truth across in the clearest possible way?
I don't want you to say who or what it was, but do you ever get phone calls from housewives begging you not to include something in the show?
Yes, and we'll keep it at that. Let's keep it going.
Would you say that's the toughest conversation to have, or are there other conversations part of your job that are even tougher to have?
Ooh, I think the toughest conversations to have is, I would say the toughest conversation to have is not those, because it's very, that's an easy thing. Girl, this is what happened. I'm sorry. You know, that's what comes with being on a reality show. We have to tell the reality. So there's no omitting anything. Sorry. I think the toughest conversation is knowing if something is going to make air and they're not aware. And when they find out and they feel hurt, then that's the conversation that you have to have with them, in terms of, I'm sorry that you're hurt by this, but, you know, I just, like how I cannot censor you, I cannot censor anyone else.
Right.
So that's their opinion. And if you have grief, or if you have qualms about what someone did or said, you have to take it up with them at the reunion when you see them next. Because you have to remember, they're not aware of what each person is doing. Like, we don't go in and said, hey, girl, this is what so-and-so said, or hey, girl, this is what so-and-so did. We don't do that. Our jobs are literally observers. So a lot of times they find out stuff when it's airing. And those are the times you have to be like, oh, my God, I'm sorry you feel this way, but, you know, I can't censor them. And you would have to take it up with them when you see them next at the reunion.
One of the things that I think we all love about Real Housewives are the housewives confessionals, you know, those interviews. Are you part of those?
Yes, I conduct, I would say, a lot of our interviews for Potomac.
Sometimes you guys will include, you'll sort of break the fourth wall and include you asking the question. When do you sort of decide to do that? How often?
Well, this season, I think you'll hear my voice a lot. And it's not by, because I want to just hear my voice on television. That's not the case. It's usually because it's a conversation, just like how we're having a conversation now. Sometimes their response doesn't make sense if you don't hear what the question is being asked. And a lot of times it's for you, the viewers, to really know that we are asking the tough questions. Like, just like how you watch at home and have questions about, why is this person doing this? Why is this person doing that? Everyone who works on this show is a fan of this show. So we literally have the same questions you have. So when we see something happen, we literally ask, so why did you do that? Like, I remembered I was talking to Giselle about being back with Jamal, and we were talking and she was explaining why she's back with him. And I literally was just sitting there and I was like, so why you think this time is going to be different? Like, I literally was, I personally was curious. And when we watched it, I said, we have to include the question because it gives more insight to how, what Giselle is thinking when she got back with her ex-husband. So those are the reasons why. And a lot of times it's fun. I remember my two favorites of all time would be in last season. And they're both with Giselle, to be honest, because Giselle's memory is all over the place sometimes. It's when she was so mad when we were talking about the NOLA trip. Like, she was really, she's like, I've never done anything to Karen. So I don't know why she was really aggravated by why Karen was coming at her. And I said, yeah. And she's like, what did I do? And then that's when I started listing off the stuff that she's done. And she's like, oh, she literally had forgotten all those things because she was so aggravated with Karen in that moment that she had no recollection of anything she's done. And then my second was, when we were talking about when Robin's taxes came to light, and she was like, she literally was going off like, girl, that's nothing. She's going to pay it off, da 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 da. And it's like, what, $5,000? I was like, no, it's like 90. She's like, oh. She literally, so those are the moments when you're doing the confessionals where you're like, oh my God, this is funny. We should include this. But a lot of times it's really to explain the story further for people to get more background information about really what's going on. And just to help them to understand that we are asking the tough questions. So, and these are the answers. So just like how you have the tough questions, we have them as well.
Right. Well, I think that I have enough personal experience to know that our Bravo celebrities don't always have the most patience when it comes to long interviews. Who is sort of the hardest to get through confessional shoots with?
Can I be completely honest? On Potomac,
yeah,
you have to set it up for each woman exactly to make sure they are comfortable. Because we do long confessionals on Potomac. With Giselle, you have to make sure her snacks are right beside the table. If she has her snacks, you can talk to Giselle for hours.
What does she like to snack on?
Cheetos.
I can't imagine that's great for interview, like on camera interviews, but
I mean, it's not. If it makes my life easier,
of give course. Her some-
Give her some Cheetos. For Karen, it's her Red Bull. Her Red Bull or her tea. You always have to make sure she has her Red Bull or her tea. For the rest of the women, is champagne. So we always make sure they are comfortable so we can talk to them longer than normal. It's all about, oh my God, I just gave out all my secrets. Now they're going to be like, I know what you're trying to do, Kamar. You're not keeping me here. But yeah, so for Potomac, it's very easy in terms of that. So just get them comfortable with their favorite snacks, favorite drinks, and you can talk to them for hours.
Do you ever have to pull back on the champagne? Because you're like, okay, we went from loose to, you know, incoherent. So now we gotta switch up to coffee.
I will say yes, and I will not say who or what season. That's all I will say is yes, and I will not say who or what season. But it has happened where I'm like, am I asking the question wrong? Or am I just... I was like, I don't know if it's me or them, but I think we should like, I think we should just stop today. We're good for today.
Well, I want to get into some specific questions about this season because I just can't stop thinking about it. We talked a little bit about Candace and Monique's physical altercation. I want to know, were you there for that moment? Did you hear about it? Walk me through what happened there for you.
I was not there at that particular moment. I was actually in bed and my phone was ringing. Like normally when my phone rings at 10 p.m., I will see who it is and like, okay, I'll call them back tomorrow. My phone kept ringing, 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 ringing. And it was every single person. And I was like, what happened? Like, I knew the event was going on. I knew Giselle wanted to get everyone together, you know, just to really celebrate her winning her literary award, like how she would like to put it. So I thought, you know, it's going to be fun. Everybody will love it. It's going to be great. And I just keep getting phone calls. And when I heard, my heart sunk. It really bothered me because I never thought that we would have ever gotten to this place. And especially for two people that I really care so much about. I end up speaking to Candace and she was shaken up by it. And I did speak to Monique and she was very apologetic. I was disappointed. I said to her, I'm very disappointed by this. And she said, I am so sorry. This is not what I want to portray myself as. This is not who I am. And the fact that I disappointed you, that, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm very sorry. Because I was really disappointed when I got the news and when I really watched everything.
I think that that would be surprising to a lot of people who just assume that anyone who works on a Bravo show is licking their lips so excited, you know, when an altercation like that happens. So why for you is it so disappointing?
It was disappointing for many, for different reasons, because no one expects to see a physical altercation. No one expects that. And it was disappointing for me because these were two women. We are like a family, believe it or not. We are like a little mini family. If you are in a family, a big family where you have like 10 brothers, 10 sisters, you know, you never want to see your siblings argue because it puts you in a bad position. And so when you saw that, you're like, wow, these are like my siblings. And you're like, this is very disappointing to me. So no one ever wants to see that. No, I don't think anyone who works on Housewives expects to see a physical altercation. And I don't think anyone goes in salivating for that. Like, that's not what we are about. So I think that's the biggest misconception out there.
I mean, did you speak to the rest of the Housewives after it happened?
Yes, I spoke to everyone. And everyone had different opinions about it, which you will see play out throughout the season. But you have to remember, we have the advantage of rewinding. We watch it on our DVRs. We can pause. We can do whatever we as viewers we can to keep playing everything over. For them, that was literally around 40 to 46 seconds that felt like an hour to these women. So all their memories and their different opinions of things are just in that moment. They don't have the luxury of rewinding and pausing and analyzing everything just like we would do when we watch it on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. They don't have that luxury. So they're just trying to grapple with it when you speak to them about what really happened. Because for them, it all happened so fast and it felt so long.
I know that it feels like right after is when Karen decided to have a meeting at her house to talk about everything. Was that something that you guys were all scrambling to sort of decide, how do we deal with this? Do we let time pass? Do we just get right back into it?
It felt like it happened right away, but it actually happened, I would say, and I think we timestamped it in the actual episode, it happened around 6 to 7 days after.
Got it.
And this was Monique was the one who wanted to apologize to everyone. So she asked Karen to help her. We had to let it play naturally. We cannot force anything because we have to, when everyone is comfortable in addressing things in their time, it's really like just standing back and just waiting for the ladies to make the first move because it's such a sensitive issue and such, and everyone is on heightened emotions. Like, you intervening will only make things worse. So you had to just stand back, let them take control and let them do what they want to do. And you just watch and just make sure everyone is comfortable. Working on television shows, you wear many hats. And this was the hat of being a counselor and a therapist that you had to be in. Like, you had to just be there as a support system for the women and let them decide how they want to deal with it, how they want to talk to each other. So you just have to really just stand back and just say, we're here if you need support.
I feel like in that meeting, the women sort of decided already, and maybe that day too, where their loyalties lied, and it kind of stayed that way through the remainder of the season. You know, Giselle and Robin really wanted nothing to do with Monique. Ashley was defensive of Monique and Karen was in the middle. Did any of those reactions surprise you?
It's so funny because I have a different point of view on that.
Oh, tell me. No, I would love to hear.
I think everyone went in hoping to hear something from Monique.
Yeah.
I literally believe that they all went in with a open heart. They all went in wanting to hear what she had to say. The problem is it did not, what Monique said wasn't satisfactory to everyone how they want it, which is something that I can't or you can't or the viewers can't. No one can. If you hurt me, right, and you came to me and you said, I'm sorry. If I don't think the sorry is the way I want it to be, or it wasn't enough for me, I can't force you to be like, well, you have to go back and retell me you're sorry because, well, you know, it's like, so I'm like moving with a different caution with you. So I think they left Karen's house like watching. They were more in the terms of watching and hoping that Monique would give them the apology or her actions would be how they felt that it was suitable for them. So it's like different people have different expectations. And this is where you feel, you understand where the women are coming from, but you also understand how it's difficult for Monique. Like, you can't be what everyone wants you to be at the same time. You can get there gradually, but it's hard when you are amongst a group of friends and you hurt everyone by your actions, but you can't explain it away the same way to everyone because everyone sees it differently and everyone have different expectations from you on how you can make it better. Because don't forget, these women are all, they're all different women. They're all strong women. So you can't go in expecting, apologizing one way will make everyone acceptable if she had hurt just one person and she apologized for that, the apology is tailored to just that one person, it would be a different outcome. But you're tailoring one apology to six different personalities. So that's where it gets a little murky.
Do you have a prediction on where fans are going to side once the altercation airs?
Can I be honest with you? I stopped doing predictions after season 7 of Atlanta Housewives when I worked on it.
Well, wait, what was the thing that made you like, oh gosh, I just don't know anymore?
Like, for instance, I thought everyone was going to love and just really embrace Claudia season, that was season 7. And I realized that a lot of fans weren't with her, and but a lot of fans were like, I just don't know anymore. So right. That was when I decided to give up my future as Miss Cleo because it's not working for me. So when I went in, I was like, okay, I literally don't know, because viewers are going to think how they think. So I just gave up the business of predicting. What I will say that the viewers will get out of it is that it feels like everything could have been avoided if they had had a conversation with each other. And I feel like that's a lesson in life for all of us. Like, if we have a problem with someone, we can't let it fester because we don't know what's going to happen. So if you have a problem with someone, I think it's a lesson in life to always address it in the moment, because we could all be in a situation like that. So it's always good to just address something how you feel it in the moment. Yeah. And that's just my personal opinion about all of this. I felt like if they had a real conversation, because they are friends, and the thing is that they both were so hurt with each other that they let the hurt prevented them from talking to each other. And that's the one thing I wish they had did. Like, I wish they had really talked to each other. But like I said, this is a reality show. We can't force them to talk to each other if they're not comfortable talking to each other.
What do you think is going to happen at the reunion this season?
Woo! I would say everyone just needs to get their popcorn, their champagne, mm-hmm. and just be on this edge of their sofa, because I feel like there is going to be a lot of shade. I think there's going to be a lot of tea that's going to be spilled. Don't know by who, but I can sense it brewing. Like, you know, when you hear the kettle in the background, like, ah! Yeah, I can literally hear the kettle like on the stove, like, oh my God, the tea is ready to be poured. So I think that's what's going to happen at this reunion. There's going to be so much light shed on stuff that happened that we're just going to have our jaws dropped while eating our popcorn, and then the popcorn falls on the floor. But yeah.
You know, it was surprising, Michael and Ashley's relationship this season, because last season was so dramatic for them. I really felt like Michael in particular would lay low. And then we get this huge cheating scandal this season. What was your reaction?
I initially felt bad for Ashley, because Ashley is, do you realize when she actually does yoga and Zen? Like, I know everyone thinks Ashley's messy and Ashley likes to stir the pot, but Ashley is really a sweet person. Like, Ashley would literally give you the clothes off her back. I remember one time I was at her restaurant, Oz, and I was cold, and Ashley came over and was like, do you want my sweater? And I was thinking, girl, you know I can't fit your sweater, so don't even offer. But that's how really genuinely sweet she is. So I literally felt bad for her instantly, and I was just like, oh my God, I just hope she's okay. So that was my initial reaction to that.
Was it difficult deciding to bring Michael and Ashley back this season, you know, given what had happened last season? Were you guys worried even about how you would handle with crew and anything like that?
We know everyone loves Ashley and everyone loves Michael. And I know what happened was publicly, but to be fair, the case was dropped. So he was acquitted in the court of law. And in this country, we are innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And he was proven to be innocent. In terms of crew, we've all worked with Ashley and Michael for years. So we were okay with them. So it was never a discussion about that. We just knew we had to handle the situation with sensitivity because this was a real turning point in their lives. Like, these are people's lives that we are showing. It's not, they're not just like a bunch of actors on a show. They're not actors. These are real people that went through something. So when they decided to return to the show, we knew we had to have our sensitive gloves on and be very respectful of what they went through. And know we have to make a comfortable space for them to want to share whatever they're going through in their lives, because no matter what our opinions are, they went through something that we don't not understand how they felt in that moment. So I am not in the business of casting judgment when I did not live that moment myself.
So what was your reaction when you found out Giselle and Jamal were back together?
Funny enough, Giselle felt that I knew from when they initially started dating, because every time we would do her confessionals, and this was while she was breaking up with Sherman, it clicked to me then that Giselle measured every man she dated to Jamal. And I don't think viewers really picked up on it, is that she always looks for someone that can be a great father and her best friend. And Giselle is a strong woman, so she likes to be, for a man to be in control every now and then. She likes to be quote unquote checked every now and then. And every time she talks, I would say to her, girl, you're going to get back with Jamal. Girl, you're going to get back with Jamal. So when she told me that, I was like, I knew it. She's like, I knew you knew it because you keep asking me about Jamal. And I was like, no, I just figured that he's the only man, Giselle, that is right for you. Like, you are, and I love her like cook food. You are a personality that it takes a very special kind of man to handle. And I don't see any man handling you except for Jamal. And so that's why I always kept asking you, so when you and Jamal getting back together, oh, you getting back with Jamal. So when she did, I was like, I was not surprised, to be honest.
As a senior pastor at a huge church, I have to imagine he's insanely charismatic. But on the show, he seems so quiet and reserved next to Giselle. Do you think that's him sort of getting used to the cameras, or it's just their dynamic?
It's a mixture of both. Don't forget, this is not, I know we're making a television show, but this is not normal always having a camera in front of your face telling you to live your real life. So for a while, it takes a little bit to get used to, but he also knows that this is her platform. This is her life. Like, he lets Giselle take the lead. Yes, he will, like, if there's something that needs to be handled, he will take care of it. But I think he's done enough in his life to allow Giselle to take the lead certain times. And I feel like that's what we see on camera. We see Jamal allowing Giselle to be Giselle. Like, and I think that's something which she might correct me, but I think this is something her and I have discussed. While she was married to Jamal, when she was first lady, she did allow a lot of Giselle to stay in the background. This is something we've discussed, that she's always said when she got divorced, she will never let that be again. She will never allow herself to be in the back. And I think maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, but I think while getting back together, I think this was something that was very clear on Giselle's part, that when we were together, I was always the one behind. I was always the one supporting you. I was always the one taking a back seat. Like, now that it got back together, I think he's realizing that this is a partnership. And in order for it to be a real partnership, he has to show the same support to Giselle that Giselle has shown to him all those years.
I am so curious about his life outside of Giselle, you know, what he's doing in Atlanta. I'm curious about his other kids. Do you think that Giselle and him will ever be more comfortable to show that?
I will say yes. You have to first give the relationship time to grow. Because you have to remember, they're still, even though they've been married and they have a family together, they're still newly dated. They're still entering a new phase. They're both grown into different people. So they're new people. So they have to reintroduce themselves to each other, I would say, in terms of dating. So I would say viewers just need to just be patient with them. Let them introduce themselves as a couple, as a family, before they introduce all the other aspects of their lives.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that one of the best things that ever comes out of our reality shows are hot mic moments. Who finds those? How do you decide how to handle them and what goes in?
Ooh, those moments they're very hard decisions to make. So as you know, I'm the showrunner I'm in charge of a team of producers because we shoot so much with these ladies. One person cannot watch everything by themselves. So I have a team of producers that watch everything and listen to everything. That's their jobs, to make sure we do not miss a moment and we do not miss a beat. I think hot mics moments are necessary in order to really help viewers understand a story. And I also feel like this show, I will say a lot of the women think this show is like therapy because they rewatch themselves on television. And now that they know something more, they know how to address it in their lives. So while it's not an easy decision to hear a hot mic moment, it's a necessary in order for you to understand as a viewer what is going on and why. Have you ever wondered, you watching a show and you ever thought to yourself, I don't understand why the body language is this way, or why this person, when I usually see them, they're always upbeat, but this time they're not. A lot of times the hot mic moments will give you some insight as to why their personality has changed in this particular mm-hmm. moment. For the ladies, it's for them to really address it in terms of how to deal with it with whoever is in their life. For example, one of the moments I look at is the Monique moment from season 2 with her mother-in-law.
Right.
Where she said, did not get that heifer straight.
Yeah.
It was always like, yes, it was a fun moment for us viewers to watch, but it was also like, why is Miss Shirley's, if you realize at that table, Miss Shirley was very, if you look at her face, she was just not here for anything. Like, she didn't like the conversation. She didn't like what they were talking about. And because you can't interview or put Miss Shirley in a confessional, you need to know why she was behaving that way. And so when she said, didn't I get that heifer straight, you realize this is her real feelings towards her daughter-in-law. And until Monique saw that and Chris saw that, they weren't able to really sit there. Mother-in-law, Chris sent his mother down and Monique sent her mother-in-law down and realized that your behavior is hurtful to us. How can we move forward as a family? And then we saw the apology at her rainbow party. So it does serve for them as a little therapy for them to move forward. So it serves many ways, but even though I find it very hard to include into the show, I think it's a necessary decision to make.
So of all the housewives, who is your favorite to go out and get drunk with?
Oh, it depends on the night. It depends on the night. I'm going to tell you, because they're all different. Here's the thing, and I say this, and I love her to death. Giselle can't dance.
Right.
But if you want a good kiki gossip moment, you want to go out with Giselle and Robin, because that's like a cute restaurant. you know, you get to kiki, sip some, you know, champagne with Giselle, but she likes a dirty martini, so Giselle will get a dirty martini. And you will get to sit there and you will kiki, and it's a very quiet evening. If you want to dance at a dance competition, you need to go out with Ashley. Like, mm-hmm. Ashley, I mean, her, like, my thighs are still sore from us having our dance off at the holiday party. So Ashley is more the dancer. Candace is my Red Lobster girl. And, oh, my God, hopefully she doesn't kill me. Oh, my God. But Candace and I bonded over loving some Cheddar Bay biscuits from Red Lobster. Like, you and we say this all the time. It doesn't matter how much money you make in life. You need to get some Cheddar Bay biscuits. If I just need a nice cigar and some Camus, it all depends on what you're in the mood for. Karen is more like, always like the big auntie. I remembered one time after a confessional, it was really pouring, like, horribly. And every step of the way from my way leaving the confessional all the way to catch my train, Karen kept calling me every step of the way to make sure I was safe. Every single step of the way, Karen called to make sure that I'm safe. So if you want that big auntie protector person, that's Karen, but she's not the person you want to get drunk with.
Right. Who is your favorite house husband to hang out with?
Ooh, funny enough, I don't say I have a favorite because I normally hang out with them when I'm with their wives.
Right.
So that one, I can't say I have a favorite because in all fairness, I am only with them with their wives. I'm never with them by themselves. But they all have different personalities that is so different, that so bizarre, complements their wives. Like, they're the most supportive husbands that I've ever seen. Even Michael with Ashley, like, they're all very supportive. But Ray always wants to take me on the tennis court, and he thinks he can beat me, but we'll see. Like, Ray always wants to take me on the tennis court. And I said, okay, Ray, I will beat you. But Ray says he can beat me on the tennis court. So if anyone wants to bet on who will win a tennis match between me and Ray, go ahead.
Amazing. I also am just curious, you know, it sounds like you really love these women and I would assume that they love you right back. How do you juggle the personal and the work relationship?
It is very hard. It's very hard because if you're friends with someone, your natural instinct is to protect your friends. Also, I also have to remember my job is to present a show that is factual and that doesn't hide anything from the viewers. So even though I love them, I have to always remember that I have a job to do, and my job is to make sure the viewers are A, knowing what's going on in these women's life to the utmost truth that I can possibly tell it. But they understand to a point that they put themselves out there. Like, they signed up to be on a reality show. So they, whatever they film is going to be put out there for the world to scrutinize. So it's a very hard position because, like I said, you want to protect your friends. That's your natural instinct as a friend, is to be a protector. But when it comes to this, I know there is a line. And even though sometimes it may be against my instinct as a friend, it is in my instinct as someone that's working on this show and as someone who wants to, you know, show everyone out there that's watching the show the truth. Because as viewers, viewers do not like to be treated like we are dumb. We like to be treated, because I'm a viewer. I love all reality TV shows. Like, I'm a reality junkie. And as viewers, we don't like to be treated like we are not smart. We don't like to be lied to. We don't like to be misinformed. We like to know everything, and we like to come up with our own conclusion when we, how we see it and how we interpret it. So I have to always keep that in the back of my head that, yes, I'm their friend, but also I'm a viewer and I'm a fan of this show. And as a viewer and as a fan, what is it that I want to know? What is it that is going to keep everyone invested in these women's lives?
This was amazing. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so happy you really liked the season. Like,
oh my God, I loved it.
Good. Every year they get a lot more comfortable with the cameras and they get a lot more comfortable divulging everything that's going on in their lives.
Oh, I mean, I can't wait for everyone to see it.
Yes, me too.
Kamar, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your wealth of Housewives knowledge with us. We so appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.